And welcome to the Geek Actually After Show for, episode 102 for the 2nd of October 2010. Okay, quick disclaimer, as always, if this is your first experience with a Geek Actually podcast, if you've stumbled across this on iTunes and thought, what the hell is this show, stop listening right now. This is not actually the real show. This is our after show. We put this on after we've recorded Film Actually and Tech Actually. We kind of always have extra stuff that we want to talk about, so we started the after show a while ago. So I would actually suggest you have a listen to Film Actually or Tech Actually first, and then listen to this. This can be often kind of fun, can often be have a little bit of information that isn't in the main shows, as is in today. We are actually moving some of the news that was in Film Actually over to this show because we ran out of time, quite frankly. Now, if you want to watch us live, and that puts this show into context, you can join us every Saturday starting at 12 p.m. We record Tech Actually, Film Actually, and then the after show straight afterwards. And that kind of puts it all into context. My name is David McVeigh. I host this kind of messy madhouse that starts in the afternoon.
Yay, and I'm joined by
Josh Philpott.
Wow, that is a really close camera this time.
We can look up.
You and your remote. Look at him.
There we go.
There we go. How's that?
That's better.
I love the way the remote came up onto screen and changes it. No, that's good.
Here we go. That's a better shot right there. There. It's kind of like that censorship bar that comes
up. Yeah, no,
All right, moving on. Now, we actually are a little bit pressed for time today because I actually have to be... Funnily enough, I have to be at an Optus store at 4 o'clock to pick up an iPhone 4, which are as rare as hen's teeth at the moment, for my lovely wife, Katie. So I have to be out of here in a little bit over half an hour. So this won't be a very long after show. But there are a couple things that I wanted to bring up. First of all, Josh.
Yes.
New Zealand, your hometown, is under attack.
Yeah.
All right. Now, and I wanted to bring this up because this was sent to me by two different people via email. I had already seen it. It has to be brought up because the MEAA, which is the Media, Entertainment, and Arts Alliance in Australia, which is, for lack of a better word, Actors Equity, okay, in Australia, is basically attacking Peter Jackson's company for the production of The Hobbit. And they are saying that they don't have the proper contracts or agreements or licenses, and actors should stay away, and all this sort of stuff. And it is threatening the production of The Hobbit. Now, I would like to point out that the MEAA has no voice in New Zealand.
Why are they even saying anything?
Well, Peter Jackson wrote an open letter basically saying... This is what he felt, and he actually, I'm going to quote a couple of quotes from him. This is from the Sydney Morning Herald. He actually said, quote unquote, Peter Jackson, "I can't see beyond the ugly specter of an Australian bully boy using what he perceives as his weak Kiwi cousins to gain a foothold in this country's film industry. They want greater membership since they get to increase their bank balance. I feel growing anger at the way this tiny minority is endangering a project that hundreds of people have worked on over the last 2 years, and the thousands about to be employed for the next 4 years, and the hundreds of millions of Warner Brothers dollars that is about to be spent in our economy." So true.
Yeah.
MEAA has no say in the New Zealand film industry, and he actually goes on to talk about the fact that the union powers that the MEAA tries to wield are actually illegal in New Zealand, all right, the way that they're set up. And basically he's saying, though, that if they continue on with this path and this actually does go through, then he is going to move The Hobbit offshore, and it will no longer be in New Zealand, and it'll move to Europe. And I just think that is the worst thing that could possibly happen.
And it's just, you know what? It would be the perfect backlash for something like that. It's just like, just for being a ridiculous idiot and just being like, oh, don't work for these people. we lose it all. Mm. And all that money goes to countries that don't need it.
I've said for a long time that as far as I'm concerned, Australia is so jealous of New Zealand at the moment because New Zealand's film industry is thriving and Australia just can't do it. No. And they've never been able to get this sort of clout. And it just makes me feel like this jealousy is now raging over to the point where, well, if we can't have it, neither can you.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen. The MEAAA is not going to get their way. Peter Jackson has fought bigger fish than the MEAAA. There's in his biography, he talks a lot about fighting the funding bodies in New Zealand back in the 80s. And he always comes out on top. This man knows what he's doing. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, it's not your production. It's his. You don't want to work for it, don't work for it, but don't get in his way, you know? The Lord of the Rings films not only pay a lot of people, employ a lot of people, but they bring huge amounts of money and tourism to New Zealand, right? Just back off.
Yeah.
Now, the scariest part of all this is my first thought was, well, you know, the MEAA is going to do this, but, you know, who's going to back it? Well, Cate Blanchett, Sir Ian McKellen, and Hugo Weaving are all said to be involved in the support.
Why would they turn against?
I don't know. It just pisses me off completely. I just needed to raise that, get it off my chest, because we're supposed to do it in the film show. We ran out of time. It just pisses me off.
Sad, because I would have liked to have heard Brandon's opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately, Brandon couldn't stick around for this. But we will see if we can get Brandon on the show again. I'm sure this is not going away.
Yeah.
And I am going to try and find a copy of the open letter in its complete form. And we'll post up a copy of it on geekactually.com. I'd like to hear what Peter Jackson's got to say about it in total.
Fair enough.
Now, moving on from that very quickly, I just want to say that Robert Zemeckis, for you people would all know Robert Zemeckis from the Back to the Future films. He also directed Castaway. He also directed Forrest Gump. Now, Robert Zemeckis has been hitting a bit of a hard time lately because his company Image Movers, now we all know for the last 10 years, he basically vowed off of live action films.
Yeah.
And he said that he was only going to do motion capture films, starting with Polar Express, Beowulf, and all that sort of stuff. He basically has now said that he might be looking at a live action film. Because Image Movers, his company, has basically been abandoned by Disney. Disney's basically said it's not working. We're not going to do it anymore.
Wow.
And so he's kind of at loose ends at the moment. So he has said that there is a movie that is a time travel film. So Back to the Future roots called Timeless. It's meant to be a tentpole picture for a summer release written by Mike Thompson, and Zemeckis and his Image Movers company are interested in producing it. And he may actually direct a live action film. He's got one more motion capture film under his belt first, remember, which is, of course, he's directing Yellow Submarine, the remake. Mm-hmm. And there is also a little bit of a rumor he's on this short list for Christopher Nolan for Superman.
Mm.
So we'll wait and see. But I think it would be really interesting to see Zemeckis return to live action, because I used to like Zemeckis. I used to love his films. I think he made some really good stuff. Romancing the Stone.
I was about to bring that up.
Okay, so that's that. Now, what is this one? No, I don't care about that one. What's this one? This was a very interesting story. This is for the after show. This is back to original after show sort of material.
Mm.
An Australian film that I'm actually interested in seeing. Who knew?
What?
This is a film that's
piece of paper's one sheet long.
Yeah, forget the show notes. You have to show notes or nothing.
There's nothing on this.
This is just an article I dug up. Apparently, Zapruder's other films, Andrew Denton's company, has produced a film called The Tunnel. And it's about basically a news crew going into the tunnels under the city and then, you know, running into problems and, you know, killers and all this sort of stuff. And the plan is it is going to be released for free on BitTorrent.
Oh, wow.
So I'm curious to see this. I'm very curious. Now, the reason why this made news this week, of course, is because it got rejected from IMDb as a listing. And now IMDb is a very important listing to have when you're a filmmaker.
Yeah.
But it got rejected because it doesn't have a theatrical. Because it's going out on BitTorrent and not even publicly distributed or publicly exhibited somewhere, they've rejected him. And so they basically said, no, don't want it. So I'm sure it'll get accepted.
It will eventually, because what they'll do is they'll probably
run it on a public screening somewhere.
Exactly.
But what they really want is it up now while it's still in production. Now, the way you can get involved in the tunnel, this is actually what they call a mass-financed film, and this is really intriguing. The way they've actually done this is they've got 135,000 frames of film make the 90-minute movie, and they are selling each frame for $1. And so they're basically saying they want to raise $135,000 to make this film, and all you have to do is go to the website and donate, and you get one frame of the film.
Can you please give me that address?
TheTunnelFilm.com, I believe it's I believe is the domain. You can Google it. That's how I did it. I Googled Tunnel Film, and you'll actually find the website, and you can actually buy as many frames as you want. I think they've currently raised something like $60,000 or something like that. And I'm going to donate because I think Andrew Denton does some really interesting stuff on television, and I'd be very interested to see a little bit more about this. So thetunnelfilm.com, go and have a subscribe. And I'll tell you what, this is such an indie film, and it's in Sydney as well. I'm going to get on the phone. I want to see if I can try and get somebody involved in it into the studio. Okay, now that's that. I don't care about that anymore. Now, what else did I have for us? Oh, yes, okay. Now, After Show, the original After Show. Wait, one more. Trailer. Sorry, I'm a little bit flustered because we had to move all this film actually stuff in here. This was a trailer that surfaced. Now, I have never in my life heard of this film, and I watch the movie sites regularly, and you would think that I would know more about this film because it doesn't look like some little indie production. Okay. This is a film called Skyline, and it's a science fiction film that when I first heard about it, okay, I'll have a look at the trailer, and I clicked the trailer, and I thought, okay, what's it going to be? And then I went, oh, my God, what is going on? Now, I'm not saying the film is going to be great or not, but it does have me at least interested. So here is the trailer for Skyline.
Coming in. Every major city in the world is experiencing the same encounter.
They're everywhere.
The further we get out of the city, the better off we are.
He's right.
We have no idea what they're capable of.
All right, so my question is, how does something like this, with the budget that it obviously has, how does it slip under the radar?
I would imagine because it looks like crap. Just going to go...
It like it is, Josh.
Yeah, no. Like I wouldn't ever do it any other way. I'm sorry. Like, visually, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, but there have been crappy films before that have had more coverage than this. I mean, like 2012 was a crappy film, too, but it was everywhere. You know what I mean? This film obviously has the same sort of budget that we're talking about with something like a 2012. How does this slip under the radar?
I don't know. Maybe it's not coming out for a while or something, or maybe there's just no love for it at all, which sounds a bit more closer to the truth. I don't know, dude. Honestly, I just think that everything I saw in that trailer is just massive amounts of special effects and we think it's
an Australian actor too. So
I don't know. I've seen the actor before. He may not be Australian, but I think I just need to find out a little more. I saw the trailer a little while ago and went, it looks interesting, I guess. Nothing, didn't hear anything, and I've learned that that's never a good thing.
Mm. All right, fair enough. I decided to bring it up. We always have to have a look at these things, especially genre films.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about, which is continuing on our fall season roundup on film and on the new television shows that are coming out. First of all, Chuck season 4. Continuing on, if you remember last week, I basically said that Chuck season 4 was a real big disappointment, and I think they've jumped the shark.
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode was by far a better episode,
mm.
and it guest starred the Old Spice guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who was fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think his line to Morgan where he's looking down at Morgan, and Morgan's babbling away, and then he finally looks at him and goes, "You're a tiny little man, aren't you?" It's just brilliant. I'm still not convinced that Chuck season 4 is going to go the distance,
mm-hmm.
but season 2 was definitely a step in the right direction. We had a lot of the original cast members come back. They brought back Lester and all those people into the Bymore. So we got kind of that sense of humor back to it. So I was actually kind of happy with that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was Smallville. Now, Smallville is the worst show on television that I cannot help myself watching. I don't know what it is about this show. It is terrible. Every fiber of my being says, do not watch this show. It is crap. And yet every week I watch it. I cannot help myself. And I don't know why. It's not a great show. It's a terrible show, in fact. But I have a question. Now, I know you probably don't watch Smallville.
No.
But I'm going to ask you just on a pure logic point of view. Okay?
Ready for this.
He has spent 9 years not wearing a costume or anything like that, right? Mm. We know this, right? And,
yeah.
and the producers have already said from the very beginning that the day that he flies will be the day the series ends,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's basically once he's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, at the very end of last season, now, mind you, they've been promising us it's going to be the last season for seasons, but this new season actually opens with the narrator saying, "And now for the last season of Smallville." So this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last season 10, end of the show, right?
Okay.
At the very end of season 9, he receives a box from his mother with a little bow on it and a card, you know, like, you know, a box, right? And in the box is the Superman costume.
Yeah.
Right? With the emblem. It's the one from the Superman Returns movie, right? Basically.
Right. Yeah.
And it's in the box. And he looks at it and then puts the lid back on. And it's like, you know, whatever, he's not ready for it or whatever, right? Then at the beginning of this season, this box is revealed again, and Lois manages to find it. Spoilers for Smallville, but Lois finds it, and she looks at it. And then, of course, that costume ends up back at the Fortress of Solitude, and the last shot in the last episode shows it behind the crystals, kind of obscured and all this sort of stuff. Like, he's going for this. All this is fine. I have no problem with all it. My logic is this.
Mm-hmm.
Where did his mother get the costume? Or if she made it, which is the traditional thing, is that she sewed the costume, where would she get the idea that he wants this costume? He's just spent 10 years not wearing a costume of any kind, right? Where did this, logically, the way that they've set Smallville up, I'm not talking about the comic books, I'm talking about the logic of the show, Smallville, what would make her think this costume is a good idea? In any way, shape, or form.
I don't think anyone should ever wear a costume that looks like that, ever. Like, I think Superman has the dumbest costume ever.
Well, ever. There is that. Okay.
Okay. And in that respect, I have to say this. It's such a mum thing to do. I'm sorry, but am I wrong, people? Can somebody back me up here? Is it not true that mums just buy you the most terrible clothes?
It's like the bad sweater that you get for Christmas.
Exactly. It's like mum's just gone, you know what, if he's going to do this, I've got to give him something to wear. And she gives him this gaudy, trashy costume that he's just looking at going, Oh, man. Mom.
You look at it and go, what would possess her? Now, we haven't actually seen the whole costume, so we don't know whether it's got the whole underwear on the outside thing or anything, but we're assuming that it's all there, okay? Mm-hmm. And what is it? Numero Zero says, I want to say that glasses are the best disguise. Now, this is another factor. They're so screwed with the lore of Smallville by not having him wear glasses as Clark Kent. When he finally does don that costume, how does he suddenly don glasses? And not only does he suddenly don glasses so he's in disguise, but all the people who used to know him without the glasses suddenly forget what he looks like.
I don't know.
Can anybody else help me with this? Does anybody
watch
Smallville?
Maybe he wipes... You know how you can wipe minds? Maybe he wipes the mind of the entire town.
Oh, you're going to start Superman 2 logic now. The Superman 2 logic. The kiss, the kiss, the kiss that makes people forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I am asked by saying, so mum.
Yeah, it's so mum. And that's why I just think that...
Oh, Calicinta's got it. The twist is he wears the glasses with the uniform. Superman with glasses. There you go. I can see that happening. Yeah. Totally. All right. Now, we have got to get out of here in about 5 to 10 minutes, and we have to...
I have to quickly tell you, by the way, Dave, I've been looking everywhere for this site just so that I can bookmark it, and I don't think it exists.
All right, hold on a second. I'm going to look it up while I'm talking.
Yeah, good. You do that.
Yeah, man.
Didn't you have... Oi,
we're coming to that. That's what I'm about to say. We're about to come to that.
Oh, I'll tell you about it. How about let's run the trailer, and then you can look for it.
It's not trailer, dude.
What?
It's clip.
Oh, the...
So, what trailer are you talking about?
Joaquin.
The Joaquin stuff. Yeah, it's their clips. Okay. All right. First, before we do Joaquin Phoenix, just going to say, remember the game The Mist?
Yes.
What would I say? What would you say if I said they're making a movie of it?
I agree with you. It's
too little, too late.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell?
Well, at the same time, it might have that kind of underground indie feel to it because no one will know anything about it because only people from our generation even played the game.
Is it just me, or is The Mist something that Uwe Boll would make? You know where because you know how he buys old, forgotten video game titles or second string ones and then turns them into
films.
This
one needs far too much work. It would break his brain to try and figure out a way to fuck this one up. Like, it's just how... It's so out there and bizarre that I just think it's a little past his territory.
I like it. Sorry, just to sidetrack you for a second. Numero Zero says, X-ray vision, but he can't see without his glasses. Sorry. No, I agree with you. I think it is...
Mist with a Y, dude.
Mist with a Y, yes. Mist with a Y, the classic game from the early 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're now said this, the rights have now been sold and it is going to be turned into, a film. And I don't understand why. I don't understand. Oh, hold on. Is it thetunnelmovie.com possibly? Could be thetunnelmovie.com. All right. Now let's have a look at this. Okay. We've talked about this a lot, and I thought we should just bring this up very quickly because it is kind of like the final stage to all of this, which is that Joaquin Phoenix, as we all know, a year and a bit ago, showed up on Letterman looking like a vagabond and being very weird. We all kind of bought into it at first, and then within the next 6 months, we started looking at it going, is this a fraud? What's going on? And then we got wind that Casey Affleck was making the movie, and we started saying, this is probably a fraud. Then last week, we reported that Casey Affleck finally came out and said it was fake. And he also, then we had some person come out, it was actually one of the writers of Letterman, saying that Letterman was in on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is, I've got two clips here. Now the whole thing goes for about 4 and a bit minutes. It is embedded at geekactually.com, so you can watch it there. I have two clips from Joaquin Phoenix's appearance on Letterman on, I think it was the 22nd of September. And I thought we'd just, as kind of like a conclusion to this whole saga, this is Joaquin Phoenix returning to Letterman.
How you doing? You know, I've always liked you. I've been to see your movies. I've always liked you. I recognize you as a powerful talent. The Johnny Cash thing, you were tremendous in that.
Thank you.
And then a year and a half ago, you come out, and honestly, it's like you slipped and hit your head in the tub. And I knew immediately when you sat down something ain't right, because if you're really the way you appeared to be, you don't go out. You know what I mean? People don't let guys like you out if you're really like that. You don't go out.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, thank you for letting me come on the show.
Yes, well, we've been dying to have you back a year and a half.
Uh-huh. No, I meant last time. Mm-hmm. But this time as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, we wanted to make this film.
You and who wanted to make
Casey
it?
Casey Affleck.
Yeah, right. Who knew film. About it? You, whose idea was it?
It was both of our idea.
Mm-hmm. And the idea being what?
I mean... In the whole interview, he's basically like incredulous over this whole thing. Yeah. Now, what I think is very interesting is that according to Letterman, in fact, I've got the clip, I'll show it to you in 1 second, but basically he's saying he wasn't part of it. He was just whatever this writer said. He said that when he came out, it was a bit of a surprise to everybody what was going on. But this is what Letterman actually had to say about it, which I thought was really cute.
Mm-hmm. But it kind of snowballed, became this big thing, and then we came on the show, or rather, I came on the show here, and that got a lot of attention.
Okay, now let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, you're retiring to pursue a career in music. To me, that seems, excuse me, I mean, you did sing in the film, but it seems unlikely, because you've been nominated for 2 Academy Awards. I, frankly, when I heard about it later, was surprised that anybody had believed it. And then after seeing you here, first of all, it really all I care about is me in this. Now, now, did I know anything about this?
No.
Yeah. Was there a script that you and I were working with?
No.
Thank you very much. I was but, not part of it, was I?
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, I think that you've interviewed many, many people, and I assume that you would kind of know the difference between a character and a real person. So I apologize. I hope I didn't offend you
in
any way.
No. I was not offended.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it was so much fun. It was
good. Yeah. Well, we just...
It was batting practice. You know? Every one of them was a dinger.
Yeah. It was batting practice, my favorite line in the whole thing. he goes on, they talk about the fact that Joaquin Phoenix actually said in the interview, he said that he couldn't believe that people actually fell for it anyway. He said, come on, I was 35 years old. Who would believe that I was retiring from acting?
Mm.
You know? He also addressed... the ending. Remember, we said one of the crucial pieces of evidence was the fact that he stands up and says thank you to Dave and takes his glasses off. They actually talked about that and they showed the clip.
Yeah.
And apparently, Joaquin Phoenix did that off his own bat, and he said that Casey Affleck got really mad at him because it broke the character.
Mm.
And Joaquin said that he was just kind of, he was very nervous about the whole thing anyway, and he said that he just really needed to get out of there. And he said that he was really gracious and really grateful of the fact that Letterman had played along with it and everything else, and he just had to say thank you, and he just really needed to get out of there. He just really had to leave that stage right at that point, which is kind of why he broke character in that last piece. But it's a very interesting interview, and it is worth going to have a look at, because he actually talks at one point. Joaquin Phoenix actually says, I wonder if I have a career in this town anymore, because he's wondering if he's burnt too many bridges over this whole thing. And he said the reason why he did the film and why they did it all was he'd been watching a lot of reality TV, and he felt that all it really took to be a reality show was to put your real name on it. And he said, and the problem was that all these people were terrible actors, and it wasn't real. And he said he wanted to show... it was like this crossover between celebrity and all this sort of stuff. And he basically said, put his name on it and it adds credibility to it.
Mm.
You know, so he basically sacrificed his name for a year at the mercy of this film to make this film actually happen. And now it's all done. He can basically say, you know, time to get back onto work, you know. But yeah, I think
I'll go and watch anything he makes after this, because I think ballsy attempt to just try something different. So you know what? I'm in, man.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I'm kind of glad it's all
film,
over.
Even if it gets completely trash, whatever film you do next, I will pay my $15 for you just because I think you deserve respect for going out there. Definitely. And doing
now, there's rumor that he's going to be playing Edgar Allan Poe, so it'll be interesting to see if he actually gets that off the ground or not. So look, I respect the experiment. I don't know if it's worked. I don't know how good the documentary is. We haven't seen it yet. I would really like to see it. I don't know how well the experiment, you know, I don't know how well it all worked. in the end. I think
we won't know until we see it, Dave.
No,
there's
true.
No, there's no way to make a call on it until we've seen it.
I'm also wondering why they broke their silence so quickly. I would have let the film run first before breaking silence.
Because I think it's important that people can go into this film during its run with an understanding that they're trying to make a statement on something, as opposed to just going in and going, hey, look at the crazy guy. It's like you need to ground it first. You need people to understand that what they're watching is them going out and doing something where people are trying to take someone that's supposedly supposed to be, you know, popular, seriously. I think it's important.
Yeah, all right, well, fair enough. Anyway, I thought we would just run a little bit of Joaquin Phoenix to finish it all off, basically.
Okay.
So we're going out on this? We're going to go out on this. It's all done. No, I mean, so we've run all our clips. That's fine. He's all done. We've done Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix is back. He's acting again. He is normal. He never broke down or lost it or anything like that. We have confirmation. Everything is finished. Okay? Can we put this one to bed? All right. We're going to get out of here. We're running really, really a little bit late for me. I've got to get out of here and get this this iPhone thing taken care of. So we're going to get out of here. A couple of credits just to get us to move us on and say that if you agree or disagree with anything we say, oh man, we didn't even run the agree or disagree on film actually. So we'll do it here. If you agree or disagree with anything we have to say, you can send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com or leave us a voicemail at 8011-3167. That's an 02 number, Sydney number, or you can sign up to our Skype account, which is Geek Actually account ID, all one word.
Sure.
We have new swag up at cafepress.com.au/geekactually. New t-shirts, all the new logo stuff. It's really cool. Go have a look at it. And you can follow us on our fan page to find out what's going on with us. Facebook.com/geekactually. And I've been Twittering a lot lately. I don't know why. For some reason, I've been Twittering a lot. Twitter.com/David McVeigh. You can follow me there. Josh, tell us a little bit about where people can find you and what you do.
All right. Well, you've got rawdlc.com, which is the gaming website I am a part of. We've just had a board upgrade, so we have a brand new visual show to show everyone, which goes out on Tuesdays, Australian Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Yes, I know that we are about to go through daylight savings, so if you're checking
us out
next week, jump online and find out when we should be on, but it's 8 p.m. usually. And we're going out this week. We're going to be reviewing Dead Rising 2, which is the new zombie game.
I just downloaded the Dead Rising 2.
Case Zero.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm going to have to play that at some point.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, so we'll be doing that, and everybody should tune in at that to watch it. And of course, go see the site. And of course, all these shows, Geek Actually, Tech Actually, Film Actually, and Raw DLC, jump onto your iTunes accounts and please give us ratings, because it helps us move up and get more people to listen.
Couldn't have said it better any myself. And you can also, while you're at that, drop a review and have a listen to two of our friends out there, which are, of course, Real Junkies Podcast at WeekendRonin.com, or search for them, R-E-E-L, Real Junkies on iTunes, or Movie Fan Cast, which you can find at moviefanhouse.com. They run two podcasts currently, which is Movie Fan Cast and Right This Instant with Brad, Charlie, and Jesse, and they are all worth listening to. So please go over to moviefanhouse.com and show your love for them as well. And I think that's it. We're going to get ourselves out of here. We're just going to give one quick credit to our cartoonist who did our wonderful logos, and he's sensational. Attackninja.blogspot.com. Go have a look at Josh Spencer's artwork. And I think that's it. And hopefully, if we're really lucky, the board won't crash on us leaving the show today as it did in Film Actually. So we're going to see if we can actually make this all work. We will see you all next week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, chat room, for sticking with us the whole day. It's been wonderful. You can watch the show live starting at 12 p.m. every Saturday, Australian Eastern Standard Time. UTC plus 10, work it out for your time zone. We go Tech Actually for an hour, Film Actually for an hour, and then the after show. So please join us on all of that. And we will see you all next week. It's been a fun time. And I think hopefully if all this works, we're going out. So bye, everybody. We'll be right back.